Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. L. Simone Scott says she wants to become the Oprah of the culinary world. And she's well on her way. She's the first African-American woman to be featured on PBS's America's Test Kitchen, a show that gets over 10 million viewers per month, making Scott one of the most visible Black women on food television. But her career has not been without obstacles. As Edible Boston put it, she's a queen of starting over. For instance, she only got started in the culinary industry at the age of 28 after she lost her job, then her home, then her car during the recession. And she joins me now in studio. Hello, Elle.
Hi, Maria Garcia.
Hi. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So you've described your transition to a career in cooking as very organic. But the transition wasn't necessarily a choice, right? I mean, this is really a second career for you, as you were kind of, in some ways, forced into the culinary industry after the recession hit. What happened and why cook?
You know, it was forced, sort of. I was already cooking. I already enjoy cooking. So it was kind of natural. You know, like if I the thought occurred to me, if I have to do something for the next 25 years of my life, it better be something I love. And the only thing that I could think of at that moment was cooking. It was the one thing that brought me like peace and joy, serenity, family time, healing. It just made sense.
Yeah. So what challenges did you face or see other women of color facing when coming up in the culinary industry?
Well, I think initially, like most people who decide to change careers later in life, you become financially challenged. You know, you essentially become a college student all over again. Even if you're 28, you're 18 one more time. Mm. And of course, that's a challenge, you know, to start over. That was the first challenge. I think that coming into the industry and just not seeing a lot of women and not seeing a lot of women of color, it makes you question not only your belongingness, but like your ability, you know, like, mm-hmm. Do I belong? You know, should I be here? Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you about She Chef. You know, it's this leadership and mentorship program you founded,
yes,
for female culinary professionals, specifically women of color. And if I'm not mistaken, it's literally the only organization that's solely committed to women of color in the food, beverage, and hospitality world. What do you think are the biggest needs for women of color in the industry?
I think some of the larger needs for women in the industry are basically business support. Women in general are less likely to get funding for businesses. And I think that when you are finding yourself in a disproportionate place in business, you need someone to tell you that you can do it. You need examples of people who are actually doing it. And you need someone who's willing to share the resources. You know, and we all know resources can be very expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have access and can afford those things, it might be a lot easier for you. But if you don't come from that space in life, then, you know, you need to know that you can do it. And She Chef is a platform for women who are doing it to share with those who aspire. And they're really giving from their heart. Most of the time, they're not getting paid a large amount of money to do it. So they're, yeah, really giving from the heart.
Yeah, I like how you put it in an interview you did with The Root, an online magazine on African-American issues. You said, when something new or different is happening, it's always met with resistance.
Yes.
I always knew that it was my personal mission to end these cycles by breaking down these barriers. I later learned that, like any building, there's ways to get in other than the front door. Elaborate on that for me.
Well, you know, I feel you hear the old adage, if you are not given a seat at the table, bring a chair. It's similar to that. You know, there's more than one way to reach a level of success. And also, there are many definitions of what success is, you know. And so, mm-hmm, in She Chef, we help people to figure out what is success for them, not the measure of what their families think or what society thinks or what they see on television. What is your personal level and measure of success? And I feel like once you define that for yourself, it really changes how you go about, you know, meeting your personal needs and meeting your personal goals. You know, if you can narrow down what it means to you to be successful, then you've already cleared the path for yourself, you know, to reach your certain levels. Also, though, it is very helpful to have someone who can go before you, yeah, and kind of experience those obstacles and clear the path for you. And I've always felt that that was my calling in life.
Wow. On Radio Boston last year, we spoke with a local chef and restaurateur, Tiffany Faison, Tiger Mama, and Sweet Cheeks Q, among a few of the restaurants she owns in Fenway. And this was after many male chefs had been accused of misconduct in the kitchen. So we asked her how she thinks the industry needs to build a culture of respect and fairness in kitchens. And let's listen to what she said.
Sure.
We have to look out for each other. We have to speak well of each other. We have to support the people that are doing it well and have hard conversations with the people that aren't. You know, it's hard because I was having a conversation with a very well-known woman in the industry that's also on television. She said, I don't care when I walk into a restaurant how the chef is treating his staff. I care what's on the plate. That can't be. That can't be any longer.
Do you think that that change has happened or is happening? How do you see the Me Too movement affecting the industry?
I think that, albeit a slow change, I think it is happening. I feel that the Me Too movement has required people to have more accountability for their personal behavior, their business practices. It's definitely put it under a microscope, and no one wants to be on the wrong end of, you know, humanism. Like, you don't want to be the one known as the person who's treating your staff horribly. You know, it just doesn't fit the culture right now, you know? And so, I mean, outside of wanting to fit into what's working well, I think people are realizing that creating positive kitchen cultures, which is also a huge part of my mission, I think they're realizing that creating these positive kitchen cultures not only looks good on paper, obviously, but it actually just fosters a better workspace.
And creativity.
Absolutely.
Right. Innovation. So let's talk about what's brought you to Boston, your role on America's Test Kitchen, which has made you, as we mentioned earlier, one of the most visible Black women on food television, visible woman. How do you think about your role on the show and how large of a platform that you have now?
I think that my role on the show is just as important as every other contributor to this show. I think we all have a responsibility on America's Test Kitchen to, you know, teach Americans and you know, our outstretched community just good ways to cook. You know, we're not looking to modernize Indian cuisine or, you know, we're just looking to show people how to make good food techniques, right? So I feel like we all have a shared responsibility in that. Now, as far as being the first African-American woman on the show, I mean, obviously, that's a pretty huge responsibility. You know, I'm not only representing my family and myself, of course, I'm representing all the women of color. They might not accept my representation, but I am moving in that. I am representing them. And it's been, I think it's been very impactful. It has certainly done a lot for She Chef, you know, and you know, it's done a lot for me. I've learned so much working at America's Test Kitchen. I've learned so much about myself being on television. I never wanted to be on television. That's the big secret.
This is the first time on television.
Yes,
right?
It literally fell in my lap. I mean, I was a producer in the past, and it was relative, but being on camera is a whole different beast.
Yeah, well, one, I was going to tell you about that. You know, one thing I really enjoy is watching you on the show and how you very much are yourself. I mean, I think your sense of humor comes through in these really subtle ways. You know, when you're doing demonstrations on the show, for instance, we have this clip when you're showing host Bridget Lancaster how to make a gâteau breton, a French butter cake.
Yes.
I want to play that clip.
Okay.
Bridget, this cake looks amazing. Look what we did.
I feel like I've been waiting 1,000 years for this cake. I know how good it is, but it never gets old.
Let's find out right now. I would say you can share this with your friends, but
we probably won't.
When you first moved to Boston to be a part of the show, you found out that you had been diagnosed with stage 1C ovarian cancer.
Yes.
So I can't imagine how hard that must have been to battle cancer right after moving to a new city and a new job and facing these new challenges.
Yeah, that was honestly the most difficult thing I've had to do to date. Like, if anyone asked me, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do, dealing with fighting and trying to adjust to a new city all while, you know, experiencing cancer. Wow. It was surreal. Like, I look back on it now. I look at pictures of myself because I keep all of my photos. I can't believe, I don't even know where I mustered up the strength to do it. But I tell you this, having cancer or just having a terminal disease in general really makes you think about your life and what you want to do and how you want to live it for whatever time you have left. And I, you know, and I've said this before in other interviews, but I think it's very important to say that I'm a faith-based person. I do everything off of faith. I believe in a higher power. I trust the universe and I move in that way. But I promised the Creator that if I survived cancer, I would utilize the rest of my life to make a change and be impactful, not only in cancer, women's cancer awareness, but also, you know, just for my life's work. I will not waste any more time. And I go full speed ahead. I can be in Mexico on Friday and Monday I'll be back at the office and people will be like, weren't you just in another country? Like, yeah, we got work to do. You know, I've been down. I've been sick. I've been bedridden and not been able to move and get about. So now that I can, you can't stop me. When, you know when I'll stop? When you see me on TV in Oprah's kitchen, that's when I'll stop.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. So let's talk about your favorite hashtag, which is included on many of your Instagram posts. Hashtag culinary Oprah.
Yes.
We're running out of time. We just have like 50 seconds left.
Okay.
Is it a goal? Is it a mentality?
It's a little bit of both. I want to be out here talking to all the women chefs and, of course, the women chefs of color, talking about their lives and their accomplishments. But I also want to be sitting pretty high like Oprah. She is like the most.
She's just the most.
She's the most.
She's the most.
Period.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about like Tom Brady being the GOAT earlier. I feel like Oprah's just the GOAT of the world.
She's a GOAT of the world. So true.
Yeah, greatest of all time. Well, that's L. Simone Scott. She's the first African-American woman to be featured on America's Test Kitchen and the founder of She Chef, a networking group for women of color in the food industry. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Maria Garcia. Join us again tomorrow.